Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
You've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Last week, Jim opened up the book. It was a great, incredible word, revelation. The doctrine that's in the book of Hebrews will change your life. It's not an easy book, it's not a simple book, but it is written to a group of people that were Jewish, who were being weaned off of the law and coming into a revelation of the incredible eminence of Jesus Christ as the high priest, as the better sacrifice, as the new covenant. And the truths that are in this book are foundational. The word doctrine means teaching. Doctrinal truth of faith that will change our lives. And throughout the New Testament, in three different places, the Word of God is extremely clear. And it says, the just, the justified, those of us that are born of the Spirit of God, the just shall live by faith. God doesn't tell me to live by hope. He doesn't tell me to live by the world, by the natural rules of this world. He tells me that I am to live by faith. And this book is a great teacher of faith, the great hall of fame. The hall of faith is in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And so this morning, as we look, we're going to see part two of Hebrews, chapter one. And it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, who has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. If you can just keep that up. Last week, Jim spoke to us about what it meant that Jesus Christ is heir of all things, and that you and I, as his body, are actually in this incredible restoration project, reconciliation project, and God is redeeming and reconciling and restoring heaven and earth. He's bringing all things back into order. And he's using Jesus Christ. The amazing thing is if he's using Jesus Christ, that means he's using you and I. Because we are his body. He's the head, we're the body. There is no separation between Jesus and the church. And I think that's one of the great fallacies that we have bought into as believers, is that Jesus is in heaven and we're on the earth, and somewhere, are you listening? Has anybody ever felt there besides me? Sometimes it seems like your prayers hit the ceiling, or it seems like God isn't anywhere to be found. And I know that you felt that way, and I know that I felt that way. Sometimes our faith, our very belief in Jesus Christ, is assaulted to such depths that we wonder if we're even saved. Because everything in this world is assaulting your faith. Everything is out to rob and to steal and to kill the faith of God that God has planted in our hearts. Because the just shall live by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that we don't see. So this morning, as we look at who Jesus is, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith come? It comes by hearing the Word of God. When I begin to hear God's Word, I am programmed and I've made in such a way and designed by the Creator in such a way that the Word, which has substance and life, we're going to see that in a minute, it actually has the power to etch itself on the inside of my heart and change me from the inside out. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. This is a supernatural book. It's God-breathed. That's why it says all Scripture is given by inspiration, by the breath of God. And it's profitable for correction, for teaching, for reproof, for instruction, that the man and the woman of God would be perfect, absolutely mature in Christ, complete and wanting nothing. You and I have the ability in our lifetime as we grow in Christ, as we abide and live in this Word, to totally be transformed so that we actually look like Jesus. And here's a newsflash. We actually do his works. And it's not weird and goofy. It's not woo-woo, supernatural, spooky. It's actually so supernaturally natural that you just go through life and there it is, right in front of you every day. Isn't that amazing? So this morning, I want to just hone in on the part of this verse in chapter 1, verse 2. Last week, heir of all things. This week, through also whom he made the worlds. So this morning, we're going to look at Jesus Christ making all things, the Word made flesh, and how this process, this creative process, actually works in us. Because God is a God of order. And God No one knows him, and no one has been able to see him, right? We haven't gone to heaven to see God. So God brought Jesus so that we could see what Jesus is like. And that's next week, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. But God has a methodology. He has a technique of faith that you and I can actually see in the Word of God, and we can learn it, and we can realize that it's actually the technique that he's called us to live in. So we're going to see this morning what it means that he created the worlds by the Word, by Jesus. And what has that got to do with my life? And how can I put that in my life? Because every day I got to walk out these doors and I got to live by faith in a world that has gone crazy. Is that not true? So what does it mean? I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Our topic this morning is created for the extraordinary. Created for the extraordinary. We're going to be looking at God creating all things through his word, the technique of faith, and how that actually, the creative process of God, we're going to see it this morning and how we can put it to work in our own lives. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll look with me in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3 is where we're going. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So read it again. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, we just read it in verse 2. It says that he has in these last days spoken by his son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the world. So God has created everything that you see and everything that is not seen through Jesus Christ. God spoke the worlds into existence. God spoke creation into existence. God used faith to create, and he created through the word. Last week, Jim was in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were created by him and for him and through him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know that Jesus Christ is the pre-incarnate God. In other words, he was the Word. He is the Word. He stepped out of eternity, Philippians chapter 2. He emptied himself, it says, of his glory, of all the power, majesty, and might that attended his deity. He didn't empty himself of deity because he can't deny himself. And he stepped into the womb of a virgin, and he was born in the likeness of sinful flesh and came as a man to redeem, to buy back you and me. The word that created everything, by faith, we understand that the world, seen and unseen, were created by the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was Jesus. It is Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that just kind of blows me away. That everything that we can see and everything that we can't see, and there's more we can't see than what we can see, was created by the one that has made himself like you and I so that you and I can be made like him. God created through the word. And now, as we're going to see, there is a technique of faith that God conceives the plan, the word commands the plan, and the spirit creates the plan. And that same technique of faith, God conceives it, the word commands it, and the spirit creates it. That same technique is working in you and I today as new creations. There is so much available to us, more than our souls can imagine, and yet we are stuck in some real big pits. And one of them is the natural world, our fear of the visible. By faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. He's appointed Jesus Christ heir of all things and by whom he made all the worlds. So therefore, that tells me that God has a plan for the church. And this plan for the church is to be like Jesus. As he is in this world, so are we. And the more that we see him, the more that we learn about him, two things happen. The more that we understand God because he's the exact replica of God. And the more that we understand who we're supposed to be because as he is in this world, so are we. You are formed and fashioned by God to look like Jesus and to be like Jesus. Jesus was a man. He came as a man, born as a human being. He took on flesh. He walked the human experience without a sin nature, with the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. And that's exactly what we are. If we're born of the Spirit of God, listen to me. If you are born of the Spirit of God, you have a brand new nature. Your sin nature has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You have now been given the Spirit of the living God to indwell you. You are now able to walk this earth just exactly like Jesus did. That's why he said, the works that I do, because I go to the Father, you're going to do greater works than these. And in my name, you can ask, and it'll get done for you. Now, we're not seeing that most of the time in our lives, let's be honest. We come to church in the 21st century, we open the Word of God, we hear a message, we daydream, we think about where we're going to go. We all do it. But yet, inside of this Word, if we tune in by the Spirit to what God is saying, the very power that created all the worlds indwells you and I right now. And as he was in this world, and as he is, so are we, because he's the head, we're the body, and there is no separation. And the church thinks that Jesus is up in heaven, and we're down here, and somewhere, somehow, he's going to answer our prayers, maybe if we do everything right, if we do all the right formulas. And we have totally missed the fact that there's no separation. We are joined together. When Paul was persecuting the church, he was on the road to Damascus. He had thrown people in jail. He had just killed Stephen. Jesus confronts him with such a bright, shining light that he's knocked off of that donkey. And he says to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? Saul, why did you persecute Stephen? He said, why are you persecuting me? There is no difference between Jesus and us. I have these ridiculous flat shoes on today. You know why? Because I broke my toe. And I can't wear my heels. I am miserable. Not because my foot hurts, but because I can't wear shoes that make me look taller. And when I broke that toe, even though it's this little insignificant toe on this right foot, never think about it, don't really look at it, really an ugly toe. When that thing broke, it spoke to my entire body. And my entire body knew exactly what was going on with that toe. And you may feel like you are just this little toenail or toe or cell in this massive body. And who are you? And what can you do for God? And does God even know that you're alive? And are you even relevant for anything? You're the wrong age, the wrong weight, the wrong color, the wrong sex, the wrong whatever. I'm here to tell you this morning that you are part of the body of Christ and that God has a plan and a purpose and he wants to use you. Just like he uses himself. God conceives the plan. The Word decrees, commands the plan. The Spirit of God creates the plan. That creative process, we're going to see, it works in us today as new believers, as new creations. So let's look at it first. You've got to see it in the Word because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. If you can see it in the Word, you can believe it. If you can't see it, you can't believe it. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things we don't see. One of the big challenges to my faith is not just the fact that Jesus is up there and I'm down here and I believe the lie that I'm separated from him. That's not true. We've just talked about that. But the next one is fear of the visible. Everything I see is natural. I see my checkbook. I listen to the news. I hear the headlines. I look in the mirror. I get on the scale. bills come and I read them. Problems loom. Diagnosis of sickness and disease. Whatever the problem may be, the natural confronts us because we live in a natural world. And fear of the visible will stop my faith. But God says, faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that you don't see. So if you can see it, you don't need faith. In the world, seeing is believing. In the kingdom of God, believing is seeing. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed and made by the Word of God. The Father conceives it, the Word decrees it, commands it, and the Spirit creates it. Let's see. How does this work? The Father conceives a plan. Genesis chapter 1. Go there with me. Let's put some faith in our hearts this morning of what I'm saying. You get a hold of this principle. Jim and I have lived our lives on it. This church was built by this principle. Everything in our lives has come because of this principle. How does the technique of faith work? How did he create the worlds by the word? And what has this got to do with my life today? The Father conceives the plan. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So there you see God the Father and you see God the Spirit. So we see that at the very beginning of all of creation, God lays this technique out for us. We see the Trinity here. And God did something in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So we see God the Father, we see God the Word, and we see God the Spirit in creation. We see God the Father, he has the conceptual plan, he thinks it, it's his plan. We see God the Word, as he speaks it, it comes forth out of him. And then we see the Holy Spirit that's hovering, waiting for the spoken Word of God to go forth. And then the Spirit of God, the power of God, begins to manifest and create that which God has spoken. Do you see that? Let me show you. All right, we've seen God the Father conceiving the plan. The Son declares a plan. God said. If you read Genesis chapter 1, every time God created, first he spoke. God said, 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 God said. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. Words contain images. Everything in creation begins with a thought, extends to the word, and then the manifestation of the creation. You are made in his image. Let me give you an example. Everything begins with a thought. Words are containers of thought. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute. I'm going to say something, and then I want you to think about what I just said. I want you to think about a big gray elephant. Okay, open your eyes. How many of you on the inside saw a big gray elephant? Everybody. It's called imagination. God's given it to us. We're made in his image. We can see on the inside. And words are containers of the thought that proceeds from your heart. Are you with me? So when you think it, and then you begin to speak it, and then you begin to manifest what you have spoken, that's how things are created. The world works that way. First, you think the thought, then you begin to talk about it, and then you do it. Is that not true? Jim had a sailboat, Amazing Grace, massive sailboat. I didn't want him to buy the sailboat. I didn't want such a big sailboat, and I didn't want a sailboat in his life. But God loves the Son. And he got this incredible sailboat, incredible price. He'd given his sailboat away to Watoto. And we built a massive thing over there in Africa. So being the wife that I am and the good wife that I am, I come under submission. And I decided, instead of being afraid, I'm going to learn how to sail. So I took sailing lessons from a woman captain because I couldn't understand the man captain. Because I'm missing a GPS system in my brain. And so I needed somebody that could be patient with me and Think like spaghetti. So I got a woman captain. Eventually, I learned how to sail. I learned starboard port, learned how to trim the sails, learned how to... I even could dock this 50-foot sailboat. Of course, you know, I think I lost some brain cells doing that because of the stress, but I could do it. Jim just whips it right in. So we go to Catalina on our vacation, our dream vacation. He comes back and says, I'm sailing the boat. So obviously, it wasn't a dream vacation in his mind. However, I'm still here. He didn't throw me overboard. So I don't want to sell the boat because I have taken lessons. But I grudgingly agree with him to sell the boat because I'm the submissive wife. So, of course, that boat sells in one day. One day, in a recession, one day. He got more for what he than he paid for the boat, you know, because that's God. So I was really mad. You know, I was like angry that my boat was gone. And God got a hold of me and said, stop it. It wasn't your boat in the first place. Remember, you didn't want him to buy it. He wanted to sell it. You agreed. Therefore, I manifested. So I said, okay, Lord, but I want my own boat. Talking about a principle. First the thought, then the word, then the manifestation. This was 2 weeks ago. So I said to Jim, I'm not done sailing. He says, that's okay, honey. I said, I'm going to buy a boat. And he says, well, you know what, babe? You can buy that boat. So I went looking for a boat, and I said, it's going to be a blue boat, and I'm going to call it Puff. Not Puff the Dragon and not Puff I'm smoking dope. Puff like a wind puff. I want you to know that this week we're going to pick up the blue boat, and we're naming it Puff. And we're docking that thing. Now wait. It started with a thought. It proceeded out of my mouth as a word. And then we went to work on it. And now we have it. This church was built that way. God spoke to us and said, you need to build a church. You need to have land. He said, you've got to have a stake in this area. I gave Abraham land. I want to give this church land. I want you to take the Inland Empire. You can't just be a breeze that comes and goes. You've got to have a stake in this valley. Plant the kingdom here. So Jim and I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I mean, we've never had anything but fumes and faith in this church. That's all we've ever had. And we began to see it on the inside. God began to conceive it on the inside of us. And then we begin to speak it out of our mouths. And then you got a hold of it, and you started to see it on the inside and speak it out of your mouths. And you are sitting today in a building that was created by a congregation that let God conceive in them, the word decree out of them, and the spirit create through them. The technique of faith. So God conceives it, the spirit, the son declares it, and the spirit creates it. Let's see that quickly. Holy Spirit creates a plan, Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the power of God. He's the creator. He is the breath of God. He is the power. He raised Jesus from the dead. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So I know I'm being repetitious, but I hope you write this down in your Bibles. God conceives it, the Son commands it, the Spirit creates it. That is the creative process of faith. Now let's see how it works in our lives and what I've got to do to get it working in my life. Because every day I need God's creative process of faith working on my behalf so I can bring God's plan and purposes to pass in my generation. So the Father conceives the plan now in us. The word decrees the plan by us, and the Spirit of God creates through us. So now God conceives his plans and purposes in me. It's in us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is the creator of heaven and earth. The Trinity, three in one, works together in conjunction. There is now no separation between you and Jesus. You are bound together by covenant and by the Holy Spirit. You are one. You're the body, just like that toe is connected to my body. May be insignificant, it may be ugly, it may be fat, it may be broken. But that toe is a part of my body. And I know that toe is there, and it's an important part of my body, and that's you and I. So the Father conceives now the plan in it. He says he'll write his word in our hearts and on our minds. The Son decrees the word by us. He says, open your mouth and speak to the mountain. And the Spirit creates the plan through us. He's using the body of Christ on the earth. Now, here's the thing. I said one of the big problems that we have in our lives, in the life of faith, is that we think Jesus is separated from us. That's true. But there's no separation. Another big problem is the fear of the visible. We live in a corporeal world, and every day we're confronted by things that rob our faith. Every day, something is out to assault your faith. The third thing that can really stop us is that we think we're out of the will of God and that God really doesn't want to use us. Now listen, God will not without you. And you cannot without him. Let me say that again. God will not without you. And you cannot without him. Let me say it again. God will not without you. And you cannot without him. If something's going to get done on this earth, if the gospel is going to be preached, if miracles are going to happen, if lives are going to be changed, if families are going to be brought back together, if kids are going to get right, if marriages are going to be bound together, if single people are going to find each other in holiness and love, if cities are going to be changed, if nations are going to be changed, it's going to happen by the body of Christ, because God will not without us, and we cannot without him. Case in point, Cornelius. Yeah, it's true. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a Gentile, he started the Gentile church. God used him, a great man, a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. He's a good man. He's praying. God sends an angel to Cornelius and says, Cornelius, there's a man named Peter. He's over in this town called Joppa. I want you to go get him and bring him back here, because he's going to tell you the way of life. Now, why couldn't God just let that angel tell Cornelius how to get saved? But no, God sent an angel, Cornelius sends a man, Peter's on the rooftop, Peter's having a vision because he's waiting for lunch and he's hungry, he goes into a trance, God gives him a vision of dropping a sheet with all kinds of unclean things in it, he says, rise, Peter, and eat, and Peter says, no, God, I won't touch anything unclean. The vision happens three times, and God says, what I have said is clean, don't you declare unclean. Right then and there, right after that vision, there's a knock on Peter's friend's door in Joppa, and there's Cornelius's servants coming to fetch Peter to go where Cornelius is to preach the gospel. So the Holy Spirit falls, Cornelius gets saved, and the Gentile church starts. Now, what's my point? Without us, God won't. Without God, we can't. God couldn't use an angel to preach to Cornelius. He needed Peter. He did a lot of stuff to get Peter to Cornelius' house, but he needed Peter. He needs us. He's made a covenant with us to use us. And if we just flip through life, show up at church, live our lives any way we want to, and we think God doesn't really care, we are fooling ourselves, because God has done a lot to get us to where we are. He has died. He has raised from the dead. He's washed us in his blood. He's filled us with his Spirit. Now he says, get your butts in gear. I need you in this generation to do my work, because you're my body. And without you, I won't. And without my power, you can't. So how does this work? First of all, God writes his word in our hearts. The Son decrees it by us. The Spirit creates through us. So what do I have to do to get this going? Four things this morning. Number one, I'm going to have to fear God because I love him. This starts with the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a two-sided coin. One side of the fear of God, you're afraid of Him, which is good. Jesus said, don't be afraid of the one that can kill your body. Be afraid of the one that can throw your soul in hell. I was afraid of my dad because my dad spanked me. I knew when I messed up, there was a rod coming after me. There was a healthy respect to obey what my father said, because if I didn't, there was a consequence. It's called the fear of God. It's the beginning stages. Now there's a flip side of the fear of the Lord. Now as you grow in the Lord and as you are with Him, you begin to fall helplessly and completely in love with Him. And now there's this reverential love that starts to take over. And now you don't want to do anything that would offend Him because you love Him. The fear of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We got to work this thing out every day. We got to flesh this life out every day. I'm walking in the natural world here. I'm not in some ethereal cloud playing a harp. I am waking up in a world gone crazy, and I got to have faith when I get up, and I got to have faith when I go to bed. And I got to have faith in between. And He says, work out your salvation, Deborah Cobray. Work it out, flesh it out every day with fear and trembling. In other words, the reverent fear of the Lord will keep you from evil, and it will cast every other fear right out of your life. Because it says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, what's that? That's opposite of what you just said, God. What God is saying is, listen, my agape, when you know how much you're loved and you start to grow up in my love, the fear of the Lord, the respect that you have for me is a reverential love that hates evil, hates it, despises it, will have nothing to do with it, and will run in stark terror from anything that would separate me from the presence of the one that I love. That's when the fear of the Lord grows up. So number one, fear God because we love Him. Let's fall in love with Him. Number two, if I'm going to have the technique of faith working in my life, I'm going to have to every day give Him my plans. Every day. Remember, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Can I have Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 up in the overhead room? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So God is at work in us both to will His will in us and to do His will in us for His pleasure. God wants my life to be in His will. God wants my everydays to be doing what He wants me to be doing on my everydays. That is the will of God. And it says He's at work both to will and to do His good pleasure. So if I every day give Him my plans, this is what it says. Proverbs 16, verse 3. This is Amplified. It says, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Roll your works on the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. I don't know what to do. But God, of every day as I flesh this out, as I work out my salvation, first with fear and trembling. Trembling over the Word of God. And fear because I love Him. Now I can commit my works to Him every day. And He says, if I will listen and wait, He'll cause my thoughts to become agreeable with His will. You ever had an idea, wanted something, and all of a sudden it starts to change? The decision you were going to make is not the decision now that you want to make. When you give God time and you roll your works on Him, He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will. He wants you in His will. Give Him time. There's going to be a lot of things going on in your life you don't know what to do. But as you wait on the Lord, as you give it to Him every day, decisions, problems, fears, frustrations, everything. When He says, roll your works, that was a Hebrew word, and Hebrew words have a lot of images in them. And it was the word they used for taking a load off a camel. So they saw in their minds a camel, and they saw this big load, and then they would see the trainers just taking that load right off that camel. Take the load off of you. Give it to God. He'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will. So shall your plans be established and succeed. You wondering who you're supposed to marry? Wondering where you're supposed to work? Wondering what you're supposed to do? See, some of that stuff's not in the Word of God. I got to find out from God, what is your will on this thing? If you will wait and roll, He'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will. It's a process, but He will do it because the Father conceives the plan in us. The Word speaks it by us. The Spirit gives us the power to do and manifest through us what God's plan is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now let's go to the next one. We see that we are to, number one, fear God. Number two, every day give Him your plans. Number three, speak what God says. What a thought. Because a lot of times I speak what I see and not what God says. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God has given us this amazing gift of imagination and speech. And whether you're not able to speak, I want to speak to you right now in the death section. Just because you're not talking out loud doesn't mean your spirit isn't talking. God hears your spirit loud and clear. You just use your hands instead of your voice. So you got more faith than I'll ever dream of having. So don't be discouraged about this. God's talking to you. Everything has ears. Everything's listening. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to the mountain. He spoke to the storm. Moses spoke to the rock. Joshua spoke to the wall of Jericho. God says, speak to the mountain in Mark chapter 11. It says very clearly, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore we speak. Listen, faith will speak. Faith will speak. So will fear. So will the human spirit, the human nature. You're saying something about something all the time. And if God is going to create His plan in me, then God says, now I need you to begin to decree and declare what I have given permission for in the Word. Now it needs to come out of your mouth. And it needs to come out of your mouth in faith. You see, I broke my toe. Now I can say my toe is broken, my toe is broken, my toe is broken, which is what I've said for 3 weeks. God spoke to me this morning and says, what are you doing? You know better than that. You know your toe is broken. That's a fact. I'm not saying it's not. But you know I'm the healer. Now say my toe is broken, but He's my healer. It's healed in Jesus' name. I just don't have the manifestation yet, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Because you see, the healer is on the inside of me. I can speak those things that are not as if they are. The world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. And He says speak to the mountain. Speak to the fig tree. Speak to that mountain of problem in your life and decree and declare what I have said about it. It is the rhema of God. It is the spoken word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. And when it comes out of a believer's mouth, sanctified and washed in the blood of the Lamb, my King is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. His word has given me permission. You think I don't have the ability and the God-given power to begin to speak what God says in my life? The world wants you to speak failure and fear. You're not going to make it. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. The world wants you to be afraid of everything. God says, fear nothing but me. Nothing but me. God conceives it in me. He says, now decree it out of your mouth. And the last one, the Spirit, He creates it through us. What does that mean? Number four, remember who wears you. Remember who's put you on. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, do you not know you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Remember who's got you on. When everything's assaulting your faith, when nothing's working, when you don't know where God is, when you're between the amen and the hallelujah of your faith, and you know God's will is for this to happen, but it's not happening, you remember who's wearing you that day. Remember that the one that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. Remember that God said it's expedient that I go to the Father, because if I don't, I can't send the Holy Spirit. But when He comes, the Comforter, He will be your teacher. He will be your attorney. He will be your intercessor. He will be the very power that will come on you and come in you and work through you. Now, church, I don't know what more God needs to do, because He's given me His word written on my heart. He's given me His name to pray in faith and to speak those things that be not like He is as if they are. And now He's given me the power of God on the inside of me to do what He's asked me to do. Is anything too hard for the Lord? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He's appointed Him heir of all things, and He has made all things through Him. The one who is our Savior. The one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The one who stepped out of eternity and stepped into humanity, became like us, went to a cross, paid for our sins, washed us, justified us just as if we've never sinned, and then raises us up and empowers us with the Holy Spirit so that He can conceive His plan in us. He can decree His plan by us, and He can create His plans and His purposes through us in our lifetime to this generation. Did you get something out of today?
I get the privilege of doing this because I'm the boss.
You're the boss.
And I'm also your husband. And I'm the senior pastor of this church.
Yes, you are.
And Puff. No. Puff.
Puff.
Oh, my.
It's a
hello.
Cheap boat, baby.
This is Puff, the sailing vessel.
Yeah.
Wanting port. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, can you see Coast Guard?
Wait a minute. I just want to take one minute. I just want to talk about this just for a second. I didn't do this first two services that we've had. This is our third service, and I've heard it three times. And each time I get something out of it. You can't be afraid to talk to God about the things that you deeply feel in your life. I believe it's the will of God for God to provide for you a home free and clear. You don't say to yourself, God, I'm afraid that's not your will. Then is it the will of God for you to be in debt to somebody? I've got scripture that says that's not the will of God. Is it the will of God for you to be subject to whatever the economy says? I believe it's not the will of God. I remember when we were young, we started the process of speaking it out of our mouth and believing God for it. And I remember saying to God, do you remember this? God, I really want a motor home.
I remember.
I never got a motor home, and then I rented one time for a month.
It was our vacation from hell.
It was a vacation from hell. I dropped that motor home off. I said, God, I don't want a motor home. So what did I do? God said, remember this in Proverbs 16:3? He'll cause your thoughts to become in accordance to His will. God, I want a car, a good car. He'll cause your thoughts to be in accordance to His will. You're not going to get something that is not the will of God from God. But there's nothing wrong with asking and then letting God develop whatever it is. Most people are so fearful, they don't want to insult God or do anything that might be carnal. And yet God says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. In other words, I still may be very carnal in my desire for this, God, but I'm believing you for it. And I've got the scripture and I'm speaking it out. And I'm believing you for that home, or I'm believing you for that ministry, or I'm believing you for that car, or I'm believing you for that those finances, or I'm believing you. And then let God work out the details. We have a house that was a big house, and so we've been trying to sell it for years. And it just wouldn't sell. We couldn't figure out everything else. We prayed, went bang, 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 sold. But the house, remember that? It couldn't sell. To this day, it hadn't sold. So we ended up paying it off, giving it to the church. That is so cool. So it was the plan of God that the church have it. We couldn't figure out why our prayers weren't being answered. The prayers will only be answered according to the will of God. And you don't have to be afraid to ask something that you think is stupid, because sometimes what you think is stupid is exactly what God wants. Proof is puff.
We are going to morph throughout our lives, change into Christ's image as we grow in faith. Be patient with yourselves. He's patient with us. One of my favorite scriptures is Jude 24. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in His presence, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Father, to Jesus Christ our King, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, before all time and now and forever. Now to Him who is able to keep you. He is at work both to will and to do His good pleasure in us. Be patient with yourselves, but get in faith. If you've been out of faith, get back in faith. Talk to Him every day. Roll your works on Him every day. Love Him because, fear Him because you love Him. My goodness. Let Him speak His word through your mouth. Our mouth is going to say something, or our hands are going to say something. Let it be the word of God. And the last one, remember who's putting you on and wearing you every day, because He loves you. And without you, He won't. And without Him, you can't. Amen? It's good, isn't it? Great God.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.